It's going to be a great day. Amen. Mark chapter 5. If you have your Bible, let's turn to chapter 5, verse 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come up out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they saw that, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him and that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered, or he didn't allow him, he allowed him not, he suffered him not. But saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee."
Amen.
Well, what a story. What a story. My goodness.
Amen.
A man possessed not just with a devil, but 2,000 devils. We call it the Gadarene because that's where he lived. He was a Gadarene maniac. We call people maniacs today, but we don't relate that to demon possession, which I'm afraid a lot of it should be. If you think demon possession stopped with the New Testament, you need to stop and look at history, even church history.
Come on, brother.
Demonic possession has never stopped. Catholics against Protestants, Protestants against Puritans, Puritans against Catholics, Protestants against Puritans, and Puritans against Baptists, and burnings and drownings and crucifixions and beating and torturings, all, I believe, demonic inspired. Look at World War I. Look at World War II. The atrocities of those world wars, how men and women can become beast and destroy each other in such animal-like behavior. The prisoner of war camps where they starved people to death and tortured people to death and did scientific experiments on them, killing them. The Nazi Jewish concentration camps. By the way, there were 6 million Jews killed, but there were also 6 million Christians killed too at the same time. We don't hear much about that, but it's true in those camps. But especially the Jews, they would fillet them alive and make lampshades out of their skin. They would scalp them and make wigs out of their hair. I'm talking about human beings doing that to other human beings. You think that can't be demonic inspired or even demonic, demon possessed people that would do such things?
Yes.
Starve little babies. Torture little babies. They're still doing that.
Yeah.
These things are not natural for mankind. The Bible says that in the last days people would be without natural affection. And only a demonic inspired at the least and probably at the most a demonic possessed person would do such things. Whether they go under religion or no religion is still the same. Look at the Nazis. And by the way, look at the communists.
Yes.
Stalin killed 5 million of his own people right before, during, and after World War II. 5 million people he killed. And most of those were Jews and Christians. Look at the beginning of the Democrat Party, KKK, lynchings. That was the beginning of the Democrat Party, lynchings. And the KKK, to fight against the Northern aggression, they called it. The Northern aggression. Look at what's going on now in the name of politics. Cities are burning. Businesses are being destroyed. And by the way, this is 90 days of it now, and it's going on every night. If you don't see it on TV, turn on YouTube and look it up. These cities, they're still doing it every night. Police are being killed. Men and women are being beaten, and some of them killed. Nobody talks about it. You got to be demonic inspired, if not demonic possessed, to do it, much less to deny it. Well, we don't believe in demon possession anymore. Well, what was Jeffrey Dahmer? Was he mama's little boy that took little boys and men in his homosexual behavior and chopped them up and put them in his refrigerator and ate them a piece at a time? Is that not demonic?
Yes.
Well, he had brain problems. No, he had a heart problem.
That's right.
You take Charles Manson that tricked a bunch of teenagers into getting on acid and tripping their minds out every day, all day long, so he could deceive them into starting a race war that he would call Helter Skelter. And thank God it didn't happen, but they're still trying to do that.
Yes.
There's so much. The drug culture.
Right.
The drug culture. You tell me that's not demonic? You take somebody's beautiful little teenage girl and get her hooked on one drug and then another and then another to where she's a slave to you? To where she'll sell her body? To where she'll sacrifice her health, her mind? Leave the people that love her? Come on. You think those are not demonic possessed people that do that to those kids? And do you not think those kids do not get demonic possessed on meth? They're out of their mind. There's a new drug now. I saw a video of people's taking it. I don't know the name of it. It made me sick. Where they just get completely out of control and they look like they're having spasms and stuff. And they waller on the ground like this man did, like a demon possessed person. And you'll read over and over where Jesus would go up on somebody, a demon possessed, and they would say, the demons cast them into the fire, the demons cast them into the water, the demons try to kill them. They really don't try to kill them, they want their body, they will torture them. The sex culture. The gay parade. The gay pride parade. Men that are so perverted, they'll take little boys and make sex objects out of them.
Yes.
Little girls. And by the way, women do it too.
Yes. Come on now.
You tell me these people aren't demon possessed. What's wrong with you?
Amen.
Without natural affection, that's what that is.
Yes.
Man. Satanism, witchcraft. You say that don't exist. The problem with Americans is every one of them live in a bubble that's called their living room. And they watch TV what they want to watch, and anything else just doesn't exist. But it does exist. It exists right here. I've knocked on doors before where people told me that they were Satan worshipers. And one woman was a little girl, and I tried to get the little girl to take her to Sunday school, talk to her mama about it, and right down there in Red River in one of those trailers. And that woman came to the door and said, we don't go to church. I said, well, you can come to my church. No, we can't. We're Wiccan. All that is a fancy name for witchcraft. Yeah. We don't worship the devil. Well, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Look, what about Antifa? Young people put on black suits and black hats and black pants and just to go destroy and kill anybody that gets in the way. They have no feelings about it. What about BLM that only values the life of one color and not the rest of the colors? What about the homosexual revolution, where now they're going to pass laws that are more and more in favor of that every day? It's went from homosexuality to LGBTQ, and I don't know what else now. They've added all kinds. You tell me that's not demonic inspired. You tell me that's not demon possessed, that someone would lower themselves to such a degrading position in humanity. Well, I just don't believe in it. This is an allegory. This is just a parable. No, it's real. It's real. Go back and look at it. I want to show you just a couple things about it, and I'll be through. Look at verse 1 in chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He dwelt among the dead. Do you not see that? Here's a man that lives in a tomb. He's not a drunk that fell asleep on top of a grave. That happens every night. But he's a man that chose to live in a grave among the dead. And you say, well, preacher, that ain't me. It was you. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You remember that old movie, The Sixth Sense? That little boy said, I see dead people. You remember that? And he said, and they want me to help them. But they don't know they're dead. And here's a man that dwelled in the tombs. He was spiritually dead. And as soon as Jesus hits the dirt of the shore, the man runs to him and says, Lord, I need some help. But he doesn't know what kind of help he needs. He just knows he's being driven by something evil and wicked, and it's killing him.
Yeah, come on now. Yes.
We were all without Christ, dead.
That's right.
Living among dead people. We look at these people, these marchers, these burnings, these riots, and say, what's wrong with those people? Don't they see it? Dead people don't see anything.
That's right.
Well, don't they understand? Especially dead people have no understanding. Then I want you to look at verse 2. It says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He had an unclean spirit. That means a spirit that is spiritually unclean. It's vile before God. It's wicked before God. I don't know where you grew up, but where I come up, I met a lot of wicked and vile people growing up.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, I know everybody looks at the pastor and says, boy, he's always been a good guy. He grew up in a good home, had a Christian mom. No, sir. No, sir. I didn't know any good people. I really didn't. The best thing God ever gave me was a blind date to a blind boy. And I met my wife. And he got me out of Lancaster, South Carolina, up to Rock Hill, South Carolina, where I could hear the gospel for the first time. I never would have heard it if I'd stayed down there. I was living among the dead. I didn't know any saved people.
Amen.
I always said everybody I knew came under three L's. They were in jail, out on bail, or already in hell. I didn't know any good people. And I was at the beginning of the drug revolution. And I was at the beginning of the sex revolution. And I was at the beginning of all these liberal things that's brought to fruition now. You can blame that on our generation.
Yeah.
He had an unclean spirit. Listen, he was possessed. You know what? Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, you're either for me or you're against me.
Right.
You gather for me or you scatter abroad. There's no neutral ground in this. Either you have the right spirit or you have the wrong spirit. You're saved or you're lost. You're dead or you're alive in Christ. You're saved or you're doomed to hell. It's not waiting for the judgment. That's right now.
Amen.
Either you're living in the tombs or you're living in the light.
Right.
You're living in the darkness, you're walking in darkness, or you're walking in the light. And when you're lost and you don't know Christ, you don't even know that you're in darkness.
Come on now.
Look at verse 3, first part of that verse. Who had his dwelling among the tombs? Now, skip down. I'm going to come back to that verse in a minute, but skip to verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was a wild man. He was out of control. And boy, our world is full of out of control people today.
Yes, it is.
I used to work for a subcontractor doing social work in Gastonia. Gastonia is about near, just about the same as Lancaster. Drugs and alcohol. Prostitution. All kind of stuff. And my job was to go get those people and take them to the doctor and make sure they got their medicine. And they had some of them so medicated they were like zombies. They were like zombies. And listen, they were out of control. And the reason they'd give me in this company, the people that do those work, most of them little ladies, young girls mostly, or little guys, little straight out of college or something. Well, I'm walking there and I'm 6'4". And they look at me and they say, well, that man's got a good presentation. They'll do right with him because they'll be afraid of him. Matter of fact, one of them, the old biker, the ex-biker, he called me Big Ron. Big Ron. And then later on he called me Big Preacher Ron. But see, these people's lives are out of control. They're out of control. And that's the way this man lived. He was completely out of control. Let me tell you something about kids. If you don't bring them under control before they reach 10 years, you probably won't get them under control. It'll take an act of God to do it.
Yeah. Come on now. Yeah.
It'll do it. Hey, they'll be wild. I was wild people. I grew up with wild people. Talking about curfews. We had no curfews. I'd leave home, you know, on Friday. I worked, so I'd have money to have a car and insurance and gasoline and hamburgers. I'd leave work on Friday and me and three or four boys take off to the beach. And we'd live down there 2 or 3 days, you know, $5 or $10 in our pocket, sleep in the car, steal gas, anything we needed, you know. And then go home. Mom said, where you been? I said, I've been to the beach. She said, oh. We were out of control. She couldn't control me. And some of you were like that too. You're just out of control. And the only thing that saved my life was God intervened.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
He stepped on my shore one day.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
When he stepped off the boat. Amen. I went to that church first time. I went to that Eastside Baptist church. Those people got to singing those hymns. I'd never heard those hymns, Hall Roy. Scared me. They got to praying. I mean, they prayed over the offering. I got under conviction. They prayed for the sick. I got under conviction. They prayed the benediction. I got under conviction. I was scared to death. I never would let them know it. That preacher got to preaching up there with that big old fat finger pointing right at me every time he said a word. I felt like he was pointing right at me. Jesus stepped on my shore that day. Amen. I wasn't the worst guy in town. I wasn't a drunk. Not yet. I wasn't a drug addict. But my life was out of control. You know what today's world says? Let go. Just let go. Be free. Yeah, you do that, you'll be completely out of control. Yeah. Hey, look, you let a youngin' go, they'll be out of control. Amen. You know what a 3-year-old knows to do? Nothing. They don't know what to do. So they just go by however they feel. Is that not most of the grown-ups now? They don't know what to do, so they're just going by however they feel. And these demons drove this man. Do you think he was born full of demons? It was a process. Somebody said, let go. He said, I'll try that. Somebody said, smoke this. He said, I'll try that. Somebody said, drink this. He said, I'll try that. Somebody said, kiss him. He said, I'll try that. Somebody said, try this over here. Snort a little of this. Drink a little of this. Go to this. Go to that. Participate in this. And it was just a little bit at the time. Just a little bit. And he didn't even know what's happening to him until he was full of 2,000 devils. He was out of control. Now, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5, if you will. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Oh my goodness. Did you notice he had no rest? This man had no rest. Night and day. Night and day. In the mountains and in the tombs, what was he doing? Crying. It doesn't mean like, it means, and cutting himself. You know, we read about these teenagers. They do what they call cutting. Oh, yeah. And they claim that's to get rid of their mental anguish. And no, it ain't. It's the devil. That's devil. That's demonic inspired. But since they don't have a mom and daddy that's saved or don't care to see that they're saved, then they don't understand that. So what do? They take them to the psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist say, you was born wrong. And your mom and daddy didn't treat you right. And your grandma and your grandpa ignored you. And that little boy called you a girl when you're really a boy, though you look like a girl. And cutting himself. And so then they get on drugs. And alcohol. And that just brings in more wildness. That's right. And more pain. Yeah. And more misery. Amen. Yeah. Don't get quiet on me now. You know what I'm talking about. A sinner is his worst enemy. A sinner is his worst enemy. Now, he's going to blame it on everybody. I'm sure if this guy went to the psychologist or psychiatrist, that Dr. Doolittle would have said, well, you know, tell me about yourself. He'd say, well, my mama didn't hug me enough. My daddy never took me fishing. I don't know how to put a worm on a hook. Mine didn't either. Well, my wife, she don't understand me. My husband, hey, whatever it is, you go on and cry like that, but I've got news for you. If you keep going that way, there's going to be some real crying later. Look what happened. Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, sooner or later in every life, everybody, I don't care if they're in a jungle living in a cave. God reveals himself to every human being sometime in their life. Now, I'm not saying they heard a sermon. I'm not saying they read a gospel tract. I'm not saying they read the Bible. I'm saying God reveals himself. Even Romans chapter 1 says creation declares there's a God. And all those years growing up as a teenager, I tell you I didn't believe in the Bible. I tell you I didn't believe in God. I tell you I believed in UFOs and all this stuff. And we've raised 3 generations now on UFO and catastrophe movies and pandemic movies. And we're reaping what we sow right now. And I tell you all that stuff. But deep down in my heart, when I looked up at those stars at night, I thought, man, somewhere up there has got to be a God. That didn't just appear one day. And boy, when I'd cut my finger and that blood would gush out, and I'd think, boy, I'm not a stick, I'm not a rock, I'm not a pile of mud. I'm a human being. There's a God somewhere in heaven, and if I have to stand before Him, and if He's holy and they're right, I'm going to hell. And everybody has that experience, and everybody has to somehow, by the way, when He reveals Himself to you that way, if you'll follow what He gives you, He'll eventually lead you to Jesus Christ.
Come on now. Yeah.
If you're a seeker of truth, the truth will reveal Himself to you. Jesus said, I'm the truth. You'll find the truth.
That's right.
And if you'll seek Him, He said, you'll find Him early.
Amen.
Amen. And this man had his opportunity, and he turned away from it, and little by little he grew into a demoniac full of 2,000 demons.
Listen. And
lived a filthy, vile, nasty life. It says they couldn't clothe him. They couldn't keep him chained. They tried to help him, undoubtedly. Somebody tried to help him. They tried to chain him down so they could clean him up and put some clothes on him and help him. And he'd break the chains, rip the clothes off, run back to the cemetery just like a drug addict or a pervert. Or it's a sinner deep in some kind of sin when you try to help them and Jesus is not part of the program.
Amen. That's
good.
He said the dog will return to his vomit and the old pig will return to his wallow. He had no comfort. But then guess what? He saw Jesus afar off. Now that's the first time you're going to see him is afar off. You see, if faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, the first time you're going to get a glimpse of who Jesus is, what He's done, and what He can do for you. I'm not talking about a picture. There is no picture of Jesus. Nobody can draw a picture of Jesus. But you'll get an idea. You'll get a picture in your head of what He was like. And the first time that happens to you, it's going to be a distant thing. Very seldom you ever hear where somebody heard the gospel for the first time and got saved. Or read the gospel for the first time and got saved. Or read one gospel tract and got saved. Or somebody witnessed to them they got saved. Usually, somebody will say something. Somebody will give you a gospel tract. Somebody will quote a scripture. You'll show up at a church or something sometime. And God will reveal Himself to you right here.
Amen.
And that's the way you'll feel. You'll feel like your heart is about to come out of your chest.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit of God will say, that preacher's preaching to you.
Yeah.
That Sunday school lesson's for you.
Yes.
That Bible's talking about you.
Listen.
God loves you. He wants to save you. God loves you. He wants to save you. God loves you. He wants to save you. But that's going to be a far distant vision of who Christ is. And then you hear it again. And it gets a little clearer. And then you hear it again. And it gets a little clearer. Until finally one day the Lord reveals Himself to you in all His glory. And you feel wrapped in His love. And you feel wrapped in His power. And you feel wrapped in His presence. I got chill bumps all over me right now. And you feel like God is all around you. And He's in you. And He's on you. And you can't help but to surrender to the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll weep and you'll cry. But now it's not for yourself. It's for the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He'll completely reveal Himself to you. John 1. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. But as many as those that received Him, see.
Yeah.
And listen, if you'll receive Him, then He'll reveal Himself completely to you.
Yeah.
This man got a glimpse of Him. But listen, the devils... Listen now, listen real close. The devils drove him to worship Jesus.
Yeah.
Go back and read it. The devils did. In verse 6, it says, and when he saw Jesus fall off, he ran and worshiped him. And look at verse 7, and cried with a loud voice. Now, wait a minute. Who's this talking? It's coming out of his mouth. But here's what he said. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, Jesus asked that spirit who's doing the talking through the man, what is thy name? And he answered, said, my name is Legion. He was talking about a Roman legion of thousands. For we are many. The devils will worship the Lord Jesus Christ when they get in his presence. You'll never see a passage where Jesus cast the devils out of somebody that the devil didn't first bow the knee and confess that Jesus is Lord. The devils have more sense than people do. James says, you believe in God, so what? The devils believe, and they tremble, and they drove this man, and they drove him down on the ground, and made him worship the Lord, because they were in him, so therefore they were worshiping the Lord. And they begged the Lord not just cast them out, because they wanted a body to occupy. They can't work in this world without flesh. They gotta have flesh to work with. He saw Jesus and worshiped him. And it was afar off. And the Bible says that, hey, I don't care if you're demonic inspired or demonic possessed or saved or lost or whatever. The Bible says one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Well, I don't believe that stuff. That's all right, you will. Well, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't cool it down one iota. It's been expanding here lately. Well, I think there's many ways to Jesus. You're about to learn better.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me and Buddha and Muhammad. No, he didn't say that. He said, but by me.
Amen.
And these demons know that. Now, let me tell you something. And I'm going to quit. Well, this is my first quit. Listen. I told y'all about that video we saw of that demon-possessed girl at Northside Baptist Church. Dr. Hudson, who's now in heaven, he videotaped a girl that demon-possessed. And when the demons would take over, they would speak through her, but it was another voice. It'd be a man's voice, and one of them had a British accent. She had many devils in that would speak. And the youth pastor was there, and he said this. He said, we command you to come out of this young lady. And the demon rebuked the young preacher. And then he said, he told Dr. Hudson, and you could see that girl's leg, she was barefoot, it went up like this, and it began to rub his thigh. And that demon said, we can do for you what we did for Jim Baker and those people down there. Now, this was before Jim Baker did that. And that boy said something about the cross. He said, we know about the cross. We were there. We saw the whole bloody mess. And Korah. We know about Adam. We've seen it. You see, we tend to think that we're the greatest things in the universe, and we're not the most powerful things in the universe. We were meant to be servants to God. We don't run this place. God does. But he's got other things, other beings he created who are physically and spiritually more powerful than we are. And they're in the world today. They didn't go because Jesus died on the cross. They're still here. And they're still working. And did you know that they've got all kind of experience, Brother Ron, because they've been watching human beings since the Garden of Eden? Did you know they got more experience with us because they've been dealing with human beings ever since the Garden of Eden? Did you know they've got more experience than us because they've been possessing human beings since the Garden of Eden? That's a scary thought. Most people don't believe in it anymore, but it's still true. Now I want you to look at his salvation and we'll quit. Look at verse 15. The man got saved. Look at verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. You see, past tense was, he cast them out into the swine. You remember? And the swine ran down and got drowned. They committed suicide. I'm sorry. Ruined my whole sermon. By the way, they're still doing that. They're killing people. I'd hate to think how many real suicides were inspired by devils. Now look at verse 15. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind.
Thank you, Lord.
Boy, what a testimony.
Amen.
He sat down. He sat down. He wasn't running around wild and tormented and cutting himself. He put on clothes. Why do y'all preachers talk about clothes all the time? It's a good sign you're in your right mind when you put clothes on. Go to nursing home. You'll figure it out.
Amen.
Amen. I used to preach at the manor out yonder. Can't remember the name of it. Now, out behind the Bowwaters. Yeah, Catawba Care. And there was one old woman every time, every week I'd go out there and preach one night. And every week there was a hallway come in over here, and there was a door over here, and a back door over there. And every week I'd get to preaching real good, and this 80-something year old woman would start right there taking her nightgown off to some button while I'm preaching. And by the time she got this all over here, she was just as naked as a jaybird. Every week. But you know what? I never thought bad of her about that. You know why? She wasn't in the right mind. Demons didn't have nothing to do with that. That was old age. She wasn't in the right mind. But let me tell you something. One of the first signs you in your right mind, you put some clothes on. Amen. He was sitting. And then not only that, I want you to notice this. He wasn't just sitting. He was in his right mind. He had a mind that was under control.
Amen.
Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. When Jesus left, went and got back on the boat, the man who had been possessed prayed, begged the Lord, saying, "Can I go with you?" Now that tells me that he was no longer possessed, but it also tells me that he was a believer.
Amen.
You know why? He wanted to follow Jesus. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for people who claim to be Christians and don't follow Jesus. They can talk all they want to, but they're lying. I'm not talking about people that fall or fail. I'm talking about people that have a lifestyle that is contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they name the name of Christ and say they're Christians, and they live like the devil's children. I'm not talking about somebody that got out of the will of God and failed and got back up. I don't care if you fall 100 times, as long as you get back up. I'm talking about people that don't follow Jesus Christ. He wanted to follow Jesus. That's a good sign to me. Is that not a good sign to you? Amen. Amen. But look at verse 17. Well, let's look at verse 16, then 17. And they saw that it told them how it befell. Verse 16, I'm sorry, let me get started back here. Okay, verse 16. And they saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And look here, verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And look. They said, "We saw what he did. We knew that man. We tried to help that man. The man was out of control. But now look what Jesus did." There's something about this that scares us. And they ask him to leave their coast. Now that's a sad story.
Sure is.
But thank God there was one there that believed. He wanted to go with him.
Amen.
But Jesus said, no, you can't go. You need to go home and tell your family and friends what great things God has done. Now, the best thing that would ever happen to us right after you got saved, that God would just go ahead and take you to heaven. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
Boy, I'd like that. If he came today, I'd like that. Wouldn't you like that? Just go on to heaven. But he doesn't do that. He said, go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for you. And that's what we're called, those of us who have been rescued from the darkness. Those of us who have been brought into the light. Those of us who God has run the devils off out of our lives. God expects us to go tell others the good news that Jesus can do the same for them. This man wasn't born this way. He was born a sinner, but he became a hardened sinner over a long period of time. And if you don't watch out, and if we don't watch out with our children, our grandchildren, our husbands, our wives, our brothers, our sisters, the longer we wait to give them the good news of what great things God has done for us, they may become a hardened sinner and say, get away from me, I don't want to hear that. Everybody's going to answer to God for their own sin, their own unbelief. But I believe that a lot of us, I believe all of us, will give account whether or not we went home and told our friends and family what great things God has done for us. It's a dangerous thing to neglect it, to put it off, or to delay salvation. He did, and look where he ended up. But thank God that Jesus passed by.
Amen.
March 5th, 1978, I was heading the same direction, but thank God Jesus stepped on my shoulder that day. Hallelujah. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. Now you know what we're supposed to do? Go home and tell thy friends and thy family what great things God has done for us.
Amen.
After I got saved, I went back to work at the cotton mill. That's where I worked. And those people said, there's something happened to you, Ron. What's happened to you? And I said, I didn't know how to explain. I said, well, you know, I've been going to church. They said, yeah, I was afraid of that. I said, but that ain't it. I said, I got saved.
Amen.
I said, I don't know what all that means, but I know I'm different.
Amen.
And if you'll come down there to Eastside Baptist Church at 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, he preaches that every Sunday, and you can get the same thing I got. And they say, boy, don't you start preaching to us. I told my brothers and sisters, I told my mama. I called my mama and I said, Mama, I got saved. And she got quiet and she started crying. And my mom had been sick, and I said, Mama, are you sick? If you're sick, I can be down there in 30 minutes. Mama, are you sick? She paused me. She said, no, I'm not sick. I'm happy.
Amen.
Go home and tell our family and friends what great things God has done for us. Let's stand, Father.